702.
Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the Prime Media Plus app.
13 minutes to 5 o'clock. This is The Early Breakfast with me, Zane Johnson, in for Africa Milani, who will be in for Lester Kivett this morning. But we will catch up with Lester Kivett at about 5:45 this morning and find out exactly where he is, if you are missing Lester this morning. And, of course, Africa will stand in for him between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Good Morning in Cape Town. So we will be catching up with Africa a little later when he does the throw forward and tell us exactly what is in the show. There is a lot of talk about empowering women, and this talk has gone on for a very, very long time. But here's an organization that's actually doing something about it. 1828, which is 1-8, the number 1-8. Then you write out 20, you spell it out, and then you put the number 8 to the back of that. I thought that that is actually very, very catchy. It's an award-winning women-led nonprofit organization that empowers young women by developing strategies for their educational and personal development. So they encourage young women between the ages of 18 and 28, and that's where the caption comes from, 1828, to pursue higher education as an attractive and necessary tool for their empowerment. Their approach is empathetic, it's skills enhancing, and relevant to the young women that they serve, since they've actually experienced some of these challenges themselves firsthand. So it's not like a skill is being imparted to you or given to you by somebody who's not been there, who hasn't walked the walk. You are being led and empowered by somebody who has had those skills. Well, for girls in grade 11 and grade 12 at high schools and in marginalized communities, this is where 1828 actually works. Chatting to us this morning is Rafilwe Sesiani. A very good morning to you, Rafilwe, and welcome to the Early Breakfast Show on 702 and Cape Talk.
Good morning, Zane, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you so much for having us this morning.
Being the father of girls, I find this very interesting and I find it very empowering. Can you possibly share with us the inspiration and the sort of driving force behind the creation of 1828? What motivated you to establish this NGO?
This is my favorite story to tell, Zane, so I hope you're ready. I was 28 years old when I look back on the last 10 years of my life. And it was basically a very personal reflection in terms of what had happened to me coming out of matric at the age of 18 without a clear sense of direction in terms of, A, what I'm going to do with my life, how I'm going to do it, and where I'm going to get the guidance and mentorship to do it. And what I found is that I was struggling financially. I was struggling with a sense of esteem, with a sense of direction and purpose. So when I turned 28, I resolved to provide the support that I didn't have when I was 18 to other 18-year-old girls. So our name is not just a very deeply personal reflection in terms of my own life. It's also, as you mentioned, the age group of young women we focus on, because they are between the ages of 18 and 28. And I find it's very tricky sometimes expecting people who are coming out of grade 12 to have all the answers about what they're going to do with their lives. What are you going to study? What are you going to do when you grow up? And not really fully supporting and understanding a lot of the challenges and nuances that girls and young women face, and how difficult and changing those decisions can be in terms of their lives. So as an organization, we firstly strive to make sure that higher education is accessible to young women, meaning that we are constantly having conversations with a number of different donors and partners who can support us in funding higher education in South Africa. Secondly, we provide mentors for the girls through our Big Sister Network, where we're chatting again to different companies to get senior and middle management women to support our girls during their undergraduate studies. What we found is that a lot of our beneficiaries are the first in their families to complete grade 12, let alone even start thinking about higher education.
Mm. You know, Rafilwe,
sometimes
people don't understand that particular concept, and I just want to pause there for a moment. I just want to pause there for a moment because, you know, it is so essential for marginalized communities to have that one child to sort of break the mold. And this is the first child that actually goes to matric, and the family and everybody chips in to work to push this child who has the potential and to make sure that that child actually reaches matric. And a lot of people outside of marginalized communities don't actually understand it. For my child and my children, for instance, matric was like, okay, I have to do that.
Absolutely. And these are girls and even young boys who are coming firstly from homes that are characterized by a lack of academic role models and mentors. But stepping out of the home into the broader community, you also don't have people to look up to in terms of academic mentorship, or certainly not as many as you would coming from more affluent neighborhoods. So that's why it's important to get a sense of mentorship, to get a sense of guidance and support, that as you are making this transition and you are the first in your family to pioneer making this change and doing all of the things that are going to take your family out of the poverty trap, take you out of the poverty trap, enhance your skills, that you are adequately supported. A lot of the time, demoralization sets in. A lot of the time, self-doubt sets in. And if you don't have someone in your corner cheering you on, someone motivating you, someone whose own life story is an inspiration to you, it can become quite difficult and demoralizing, as I said. So for us, primarily, it is removing the financial obstacles that make higher education inaccessible to a lot of young people in this country because it is prohibitively expensive. And then secondly, having the mentorship and the guidance that you need to pursue your dreams and become a shining example to the next generation of young people in your home, in your family, and in your community.
The last thing a young doctor, young lawyer, or young teacher wants to worry about is how am I going to get the money to study, which is one of the huge things and one of the big criteria. I was fortunate to work with the medical side of the University of Stellenbosch, and do a few things for them. And actually, food security was one of the big things for students who were medical students. We all think that, hey, medical students come out of rich homes. No, they don't. They are just people like you and I who also want to have a better life. The concept of higher education as a tool for empowerment is central to your mission of 1828. Could you give me some insights on how your organization encourages and then supports women? And how do you take them from grade 11 and 12 and walk them through into tertiary education?
So starting at our high school, Zane, we go into marginalized communities, as I mentioned, speaking to the school principals as well as the head of life orientation to design a curriculum that supports the LO curriculum. We are using school resources, school facilities and the school hours to run these programs. And so we necessarily have to dovetail with the LO curriculum. And a lot of our topics have a very strong core in terms of motivating the learners and making sure that they are using higher education as a tool for their empowerment. So we spend a lot of time discussing things like NBTs. We spend time discussing how to get in an application on time to universities, discussing university open day attendance. We're making sure that the girls are performing well in terms of their June prelim and final exams, such that when time comes for universities to make their decisions, they would have at least had a foot in the door in terms of applying early on time and submitting quality applications. And then it is from this group of girls in grade 11 and 12 that we then attract young women into our financial assistance program, which, as I mentioned, covers the costs of any degree at any accredited higher education institution in the country. And the reason that we're not prescriptive in terms of what the girls study is that we believe that you will become successful at what you are passionate about. Very often you find young people being motivated by money to do certain things or to pursue a certain study program because it is well-funded and there are bursaries for it. We have funded girls in a range of different disciplines, from hairdressing to graphic design to law, because we believe that if you are supported in doing what you love, then success will be embedded, as opposed to pursuing something that's well-funded or well-marketed or well-publicized, for instance. And so that would be the financial assistance program. And again, the whole point around leadership in our country is our vision as an organization is a South Africa in which girls and young women are empowered and educated to lead. But for us, education goes beyond just getting the degree. In fact, one of my favorite quotes by Steve Biko, I hope I'm not going to butcher it, but he said something along the lines of, to most people, getting the degree is more important than the substance of learning attached to a discipline, which is why it's so important to inculcate an entrepreneurial mindset in young people. It's not enough that you studied medicine, Zane, and it's not enough that you studied law. Mm. Thinking that you're only becoming a doctor or a lawyer based on your qualification isn't sufficient, because we know what the reality is in terms of youth unemployment in this country and certainly also graduate unemployment. But if you start thinking, well, I have this degree, how am I going to apply the knowledge from this degree to become entrepreneurial, then you're moving away from that fixed mindset of, I am an engineer, therefore I have to work in engineering. And that for us creates then scope for you as a young person to create employment for yourself and then create employment for others, which is where entrepreneurship comes from. And the transition from self-employment to entrepreneurship, we think, has got a very strong foundation if higher education is the foundation for it.
The Big Sister Network and the Leadership Camp sounds like a very unique and engaging component of your organization. Effective foster mentorship and leadership skills, and this is the key thing. I was chatting yesterday to some people about the difference between a manager and a leader. There's a very big difference between somebody who's just a manager and a leader, and these skills and mentorship, and I've always believed also in mentorship in terms of, you know, progression and continuation and succession. You need mentorship in any business and in any part of your life. If you have a mentor and you're walking that path with a mentor, the moment when you want to give up, that mentor is there to support you and guide you and get you to the next step.
Absolutely. So our Big Sister Network is not just a mentorship program in the strict sense of learning from someone to whom you aspire to fall into their footsteps. It's not just about being attached to a woman who's already a success in the field that you aspire to get into. A lot of it also has to do with reverse mentorship as well as peer mentorship. And what happens is we have older women coming to us and saying, wow, I have learned so much from my little sister. She's really opened my eyes and given me perspective. A lot of them also see the mentoring journey as an opportunity to heal and to relearn from some of the mistakes that they made as young women, and they'll often say to us, I see so much of myself in my little sister or mentee. When I speak about reverse mentorship, we cannot undermine the effect and the importance of the young woman's experience and the older woman's experience. And so we need to stop thinking about mentorship as only being one direction in terms of the older woman giving knowledge, giving support to someone younger than her. And then secondly, as I mentioned, peer mentorship. So the big sisters themselves would be networking amongst each other, sharing best practice in terms of mentoring relationships, and the girls themselves are now very much involved in each other's lives at different campuses across South Africa, really sharing and learning their experiences as young women. So let's look at mentorship broadly and not exclude reverse mentorship and peer mentorship. When it comes to leadership, you mentioned our leadership camp, which is an off-site weekend experience that brings together girls from different campuses across the country. Our challenge is that we tend to associate leadership with titles.
We unfortunately have to go to news. I think your website is 1818, then the word 20 and 8. So it's 1828.org.za. Rafiel Wesesiani, the founder of 1828, what an interesting discussion.